Blog Talk Radio.
Installment of Thoughts of a Brother. Hope everybody's having a good week so far. Being that it's hump day, got two more days and we'll be out this week. As we said before, we're going to try to give you some more productive and good shows. So we decided to go a little harder and bring you some more shows during the week. And hey, here we go. We're starting it off. So to start off this week's show, we just wanted to get a little more diverse, get you a little more avenues open up, see if we can reach some more listeners, see if we can reach inside ourselves and show you other dimensions we have. So we decided to go with what's in the know. Our kind of avenue or spin on current topics, current events. First one I want to throw out to you boys, and I'm catching them off guard because I ain't told them none of these current topics, but I was watching TV this morning. Right? And a little boy in a school, somewhere up north, I think it is, I'm not mistaken. Could even be in Texas. But a little boy went to school with Little Pony. Remember Little Pony?
My Little Pony.
My Little Pony. My Little Pony. There it is. Yeah. My Little Pony backpack. The kids started to pick on him, and it became such a distraction that they sent the little boy home.
The boy who came with the book.
Book bag.
Okay.
So it was kind of like he was punished. So they were showing like the mama was talking and felt like he was messed up. I guess my question to y'all is, like, what's y'all take on? Like, how would you feel if your son took a book bag? Say if it ain't even My Little Pony. Say if it's something else. And he was the one sent home, but it was really the fact that he was being kind of, I guess you could say, bullet picked on. And instead of eliminate the bad kids, you kind of eliminate him by sending him home.
I mean, I guess it depends on what position you in. I guess for the school, they figured it would be easier
right.
to send him home than send everybody right. who's picking at him home. You know what I mean? Like, I can't get everybody who's picking on you and you causing a distraction. It's sad that a book bag would be considered a distraction, but I guess, I don't know how old this young man was, and, you know, what
yeah,
grade
did they say elementary, middle?
Yeah, it looked like it was, he might have been in the fifth or the sixth.
Yeah, see, now, that's a different spin. You know, like, first grade, kindergarten, maybe even second grade, I might feel a little less funny about it.
Good choice of word.
But, you know, at fifth grade, you got My Little Pony. Come on, man.
For me, okay, it would have been a lot to lead up to him going to school with a My Little Pony book bag.
Yeah, I don't know if daddy was like, okay, I can't go that
deep. We can't go that deep. We don't know.
Right,
we don't know
right,
what daddy
right.
had, if daddy was there, if daddy even had anything to say. We don't know. Me as a father, though, this is sixth grade.
You don't better do it.
I don't think I would allow him to take it to school. I wouldn't. I can't say I would have a problem with him wanting that. But I would not want him to go to school with that because I know he's going to get bullied and picked on. So
yeah.
to protect him, I wouldn't have allowed him to go to school with that. And I would have just had to have a conversation with him and explain to him why. But that's deep.
I don't know, though, but if you're going to allow him to have it, why not allow him to go to school and experience what's going to be experienced by having it?
Mm-mm.
You can't hide him. You can't, I mean, you can't protect him forever. So that set him up for any, I don't even want to say bad decisions, but ill-advised decisions that he might make after that, you always going to have to cover for him because he don't, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
I feel you. I feel what you're saying.
I agree, too. But, of course, now, where I've seen this on the show, it was mostly women, female hosts.
Yeah.
So they seen it from a standpoint more of where the kids shouldn't have been bullied. I agree with that. I agree the kids probably shouldn't have been picked on.
I think we all agree with that, that the kids should not have been picked on.
But we understand and can see where it came from.
The kids are the most ruthless beings simply because they're unfiltered. You know what I mean? Like, they don't have all of the political correctness.
Yeah.
I may be making up my first word here today, but the political correctness that we tend to display as older beings. Kid call you fat in a minute.
Yeah,
you fat.
Yeah.
Right.
And we'll look at you like, what?
What?
Yeah.
You fat. What was I supposed
why
to
you,
say?
Why you mad?
Yeah.
You fat.
Yeah.
Why you mad? You old.
You ugly.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of it. I mean, that's the beauty of being a kid, the innocence of it. Which is, I mean, it's good, but
it's a double-edged
yeah.
sword.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? Yeah, that's the beauty of being a child is the innocence and the unfilteredness, you know, of being a child. But at the same time, that's the bad side of it, too, because they have no holds barred on each other.
You know what I'm saying?
You think they're an adult, they fat? You think they won't tell where they appear?
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I was going that way. I blame the administrator of that school for allowing that to be made as big of a deal as it has been. These are kids that you're dealing with. You know what I mean? Like, why does this have to be such a big deal to where I got to send anybody home? Anybody
right.
done nobody
yeah,
home?
I don't think nobody
should have
been
handled
in house. Nobody
yeah.
should have went home.
Yeah.
Me, as if I was an administrator or a principal, okay, let me find some other means of him to carry his book. I'm going to take this book back for the day because it is a distraction.
Yeah.
You know, then we'll bring his parents in. We'll talk to explain to him why we took the book back. And after that, bro, you on your own. Now, if you,
yeah,
decide,
you come back with it.
You decide to bring that book back again. Now, I've done what I could do. I'll make an announcement, you know, no one, blah, blah, whatever. The political correctness.
It is.
It's to do.
Words
yeah.
Today.
Yeah.
Words
we make up words right here. We make up words. Check this out, boys. Next topic. Because I guess we We pretty much examined that one far as we could. You remember Anita Hill?
I know the name.
In 91, remember when
Clarence Thomas.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's like then, I guess it's 20-some years later or something like that, and now she's doing a documentary on everything she went through during that time. But looking at that now and thinking about that then, how did Clarence Thomas become a Supreme Court justice? And everything the woman was saying was pretty much verified. It was sexual harassment. It opened the door for sexual harassment today. And it'd be such a real instrument and real, a factor.
That's a hot topic and big businesses.
But if it wasn't never been for Anita Hill at 91, and remember we seen it and we thought it was, I remember my mama really didn't want me to watch it. Because it was more of the fact that, you know, what they were saying, because it was, a pubic hair and a soda or something like that, a soda can, and he was asking to go out to date and done. Then she even said, in the last year, couple years or so, his wife has called her and told her she needs to apologize now, years later.
The wife needs to apologize?
The wife called Anita Hill, Clarence Thomas' wife.
Yeah, who needs to do the apologize?
Anita Hill.
For what?
I do not know, but that's
she
what
need
she
needs to apologize to Clarence.
She needs to make a public apology about what happened years ago.
Was she wrong? I mean, she told the truth, right?
That's what you just said. Like, that's what I'm asking. What is she apologizing for?
I guess the wife feels because he's still tarnished.
Oh man, please.
He tarnished himself, right? But I guess from her standpoint, she's feeling he's saying he ain't never do all that. That was proven.
That's what he supposed to say.
Right. Well, I understand that.
I mean, like, what am I supposed to say?
But
I didn't do that.
But look at it from the standpoint.
That wasn't me.
Look at it from the standpoint. Yeah, because you're right.
You're
right. From
a
man's standpoint, that's what
you're
going to say.
I did it. I did not do that. No. She's lying on me.
But the audacity of her to call me the yellow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of that. I see we got a caller. We'll go ahead and see what our caller got going on. Let's go ahead and call in. All right, caller, you on the air.
Yes.
Go ahead and state your name and your topic.
Yes, my name is Tyler, but I was calling from Detroit, but I was just listening. I just saw your show title and I just figured I would tune in.
Oh, that's what's up. We appreciate that, Tyler. You just want to listen in. We can let you just listen in. And if you want to chime in, you can let us know where to chime in and have a say-so or whatever. But we appreciate the support and you checking out our show.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you.
I
would not have been upset with Anita Hill if she would have cussed her out. I would have been mad.
She should have. I mean, like, let's be honest, man. We're talking years later. You just said this is what, 20th anniversary?
It was 1991, the actual case and all that happened with the Anita Hill Clarence Thomas thing.
So
how many years is that?
I don't know, but had she called the day that I came publicly with this and told me I needed to apologize, probably have some choice words for her. Me apologize for what?
And that's why I said the audacity of her to even call this one.
Yeah, we crazy. Mm-hmm. Your question was, how did Clarence Thomas become a Supreme Justice?
Right. Do you think he would that fly today?
Yeah, I do. It depends on who wanted him in that position.
Right. I think that's what flew in. I think that's why he is, because it really she was made a spectacle. Anita Hill was more of a spectacle.
It was a joke.
Yeah.
You remember that? I mean, they had Saturday Night Live skits. They was all kinds of. It was a joke. It was funny.
I know this kind of off topic, but same thing with Monica Lewinsky,
Lewinsky. That's an act now.
Yeah.
When
you come publicly with something like that, even though you could be in the right, you become the butt of the joke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's what makes it difficult for people who are genuinely put in a compromising position or a bad situation to come forward and talk about it, because now I'm gonna be made to be the butt of the joke.
Yeah, all your dirty laundry is gonna be aired out.
Yeah,
for me,
aired out there.
Nasty.
I mean, I give much respect to Anita Hill for being brave enough to do that back then. I give her much respect today to still stand on what she said. And, I mean, like we said, the powers that be sometimes play things out differently than we might choose to have them, but such is life. With our next topic, I know you boys heard of this. You know the South African Olympic runner with the two amputee legs, right?
Yeah.
You know, he's on trial for
murder
of killing his girlfriend.
Yeah.
You heard the story, right?
Not all of it, no.
Well, he's claiming to thought she was an intruder.
A burglar.
Yeah.
And shot her.
In the bathroom with the door closed. not the bathroom by the front door.
The bathroom.
And this is his claim. Now, it's a crazy story, but most people just hearing it on the surface, it seems like he just shot the woman.
Yeah.
And set it up to make it seem that way. Now, there have been some, I guess the defense is trying to prove that, you know, he had some other issues going on with, as far as, you know, being uptight or scared or something. But however it play out, to me, it's like the drama behind it. Is it necessary? Because if it was me, you or Corbone, who had shot out wise in the bathroom, do you think it would get as much uproar as this?
They'd be telling our story maybe on the show after we locked up.
Yeah, 48 or
something like that.
Well,
we're gonna be locked up.
Yeah, so.
But we got legs. And I'm saying that, it sounds funny, it sounds stupid, but at the end of the day, think about it. That's why this story is as big as it is. Talking about somebody who did something amazing
with
physical impairment. That's what you're known for. That's what you were known for. But now you change the game because you put yourself in a position where you might be known for something else now. You might have the same, if they knew you for playing basketball, if you were a professional basketball player, they knew you for something positive and now there's a negative spin on your character, then yeah, it'll be a big story. But just the average joke, nah, it happens every day. He's not an average joke.
I think what boils down into is that it is a story.
Yeah. And it's a crazy story.
Right, it's a story. Yeah. So yeah, they're going to talk about it. Yeah.
I just thought that was interesting. I checked that out. And then I seen this actually on Bay 9 News. Then I read the paper where President Obama gave out 24 Medal of Honors. And they were given out to people that were discriminated against because of color, creed, or race in the past.
They were like Jewish and black,
right,
mostly Jewish, black, and Hispanic.
Yeah. Right. And he gave out. But the catcher is, out of the 24, only three of them are
right.
still living today to receive the medal. I thought that was kind of big, and I thought it didn't get a lot of the play it probably should have got. But that was just my take on it.
Because that's Obama being the nice guy again.
What else?
They caught ahead in that.
Was their death attributed to the discrimination? Like, was the discrimination and the death directly linked?
No. We said they were discriminated when the war was put in for them to get it through the military.
Was it like World War II or
the
something?
Korean War.
Korean War.
One or two of them never even made it back. But because of whatever they did in war, they accomplished, they should have gotten the Medal of Honor, but it was discriminated. So, I mean, it went across somebody's desk back then, and they were like, no, we're not giving it to them because of boom, boom, boom.
I'm of the opinion every veteran deserves some type of recognition.
I do too. I believe that.
I
believe that. And I'm biased, but I believe that.
I mean, we should give anybody who's willing to make that type of sacrifice, we should acknowledge them in one way or another. But
definitely believe that.
That's just my opinion.
So I want to throw that topic out there because I know a lot of times stuff like that get overlooked. But this was something I seen today, man. I had to let y'all boys hear. It was a tweet by Michael Finley. Mike Finn, former NBA player.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Played for San Antonio, if I'm mistaken.
Played for several teams, I think.
Yeah.
All right, I got it. I know y'all hit me rough in the paper, but we do research around here, baby. It said, today, Phil Jackson announces I'm back. Because we all know Phil Jackson, not executive of the New York Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
19 years ago, MJ announces, I'm back. Who will win a title first as a front office is that? I thought that was a great tweet and great question.
Now, is the question who going to win it first between Phil and Mike?
Yeah.
Who? What?
Yeah, but I mean, it's, hey, you can't synonymously.
Go ahead.
Them two are kind of integrated as great together.
Nah. Okay, I'm looking at this like if we said Mike and Phil going one-on-one on the basketball court, who's going to win? That's a ridiculous question.
Right. So this is also a ridiculous question.
Mike plays basketball. He's proven that. He's not great in front office.
He's proven that also.
He's proven.
Yeah.
Phil, on the other hand, does what he does. He don't try to shoot basketball. And I don't think Phil would sign up for nothing that he don't feel like he's going to be great at.
Yeah, I think the Knicks was perfect for him. I think now he got a couple of years because if they can't get rid of this money, they got sitting there like Amari and I think it's Chandler. They got a chance of Melo leaving.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? After this year, once he gets his last payout. But I think you give Phil about a year. And if he can get rid of one of them big names this year, he can get some around. It's Phil Jackson.
Man, the man is
not. All you gotta do is call him. You're gonna play for him. That's Phil Jackson.
He's now affiliated with the greatest, the biggest three basketball markets on the planet.
Yeah.
Isn't he a
Chicago?
Then he played for the Knicks.
He went back home basically. And then think about it this way: you got Pat Riley, one of the great coaches too, who put together the Miami Heat. You mean to tell me you wouldn't take Phil Jackson over Pat Riley?
I would.
So I would love Phil to be my president or executive.
Ooh. Now, what position are we talking about? We talking about as head coach or we talking about?
I'm talking about both. Because Pat has proven himself and Phil hasn't yet, we don't know. But just off their coaching, and if Pat could go to that point and do what he did as an exec, I'm going to go with Phil too.
Because
as a coach, I'm definitely taking Phil over Pat.
Definitely. You said definitely.
I'm definitely. But I'm biased again.
I would say definitely, too. To me, Phil Jackson has proved himself more as a coach than Pat Riley has.
Man, we got to. Okay, let's consider this now. Let's look at this realistically.
Okay, definitely not, because you know Phil got 11 rings.
Yeah, but when he got him, he had the greatest players on the planet at the
time. We can't say Pat ain't either. He got LeBron and he had Kobe.
He didn't have the greatest.
Yeah, Magic Johnson. Yeah, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
The greatest on the planet. I didn't say great players. I said the greatest on the planet, which was Michael Jordan when he was there and Kobe when after Mike stepped out. Now Kobe has subsided and LeBron is now in that position, so everything is in Miami. But we don't know what's going to happen in New York just yet. We'll see. As far as who I take, I don't know. I can't jump and say I would take Phil. I might end up in that position, but I can't say that right off the bat.
Well, I understand that. I'm trying to get the paper together. I'm sorry. I apologize for that. Well, so I guess we kind of, me and Bone say, Phil, you say.
I said,
the jury's still out. The jury's still out.
You know what day you ask me, maybe.
The jury's still out.
You ask you tomorrow if you was to say.
Yeah.
This is our last hot topic, then we can move on into our original topic of the show and move on. But just throw these hot topics out. We want to be in the know. We want to make sure our listeners are in the know also. This is interesting stuff we come across. In Florida, two of our beaches was ranked in the top 25 of the nation for best beaches. Number three was Lido. Oh, Siesta Key, I take that back. Siesta Key was three. And Lido was 22. Have y'all ever been to either one of those beaches?
I've been to Lido.
Yeah, I've been to Lido.
Lido was nice.
I've been out to Siesta Key.
You've been out to Siesta Key? Is it real nice like that? Because, you know, all the beaches are nice to me. I like Clearwater.
Right.
You know, because I think
we take our beaches for granted because we were born and raised there.
Until you go somewhere else.
You know, we take our beaches for granted. We take our county, our area
for granted. Yeah.
If you think about it.
Well, that's our time of letting us know it's time to move on out of our hot topic. So we'll be back next week with the hot topic and the in the know for you. Now we're going to move on into our our topics for this week's show. Get into the steak. We gave you the dessert. Now we get into the encore. We're going to get into the entree, I should say. And as we all know, March Madness has kicked off. The NCAA Men's Collegiate Basketball Tournament, one of the greatest examples of sports I've ever watched. And I've really learned to understand that in the last couple of years, man. These games are great. I mean, these teams can play all year, but you can guarantee ain't going to be no blowouts. And if it is, it's going to be way in the game. And most of the games really ain't blowouts. They come down to that last shot. So I was checking out the NCAA March Madness last night, and I was checking out we had Mount St. Mary's versus the University of Auburn. The University of Auburn got this dude that's he's 5'9", had 9 rebounds. You don't get some people 16 and get 9 rebounds in college basketball. He had 9 rebounds and 22 points, and he's faster than lightning. Dude name is BJF. Tight. So he's something to watch in the tournament, the upcoming tournament. But the game, on the other hand, University of Auburn took off to a 21-2 lead over. So I'm thinking like, oh man, here we go. I'm finna get let down this year. Before the halftime, it was 23-23. St. Mary's hit 37 threes. And I'm talking about one dude pulled, and the man, the big man, they had broke a press, and the big man caught the ball, like, right outside of the circle that would be at the half-court point. The point guard was standing next to him. He almost handed the ball to him. Dog just turned around and squared up and drilled a three. I was like, wow, these boys ain't playing. And once one of them hit, it was like all of them just felt like we could just pull. And they just went to pull it.
Just win or go home, man.
I mean, it was a good game. It came down to, I think, it was 37 seconds up, and St. Mary's pulled up a three. This is what they say, you live by a three, you got by a three. Pulled up a three, and the dude, he missed the three. It went in, rimmed in, and bounced out. And they lost the game. They lost it, 67-64, University of Alabama. So that boy, DJ Evans, something to watch in that second round. The second game, which was North Carolina State versus Xavier. This dude, T.J. Warren, on your seats right now, be paying attention to NC State, because this boy is a beast. T.J. Warren is a beast. Last year, he was like this real hyped-up freshman, and he didn't show up in the tournament. He got a chip on his shoulder this year. And it's this point guard they got, this little Caucasian point guard. Dude, man, he reminded me of, y'all remember when we were playing ball in Greenwell.
Chad?
No, Coach Greenwell. What was his name, though? He looked like Opie. Of Mayberry.
Oh, okay. I don't know who he's talking about.
But anyway, you remind me of him running up and down the court, dude named Jamal Lewis. Him and T.J. Warren running together, dog. Two beats, dog. It reminds you of Gary Payton and Sean Kemp in Seattle Prime, though. You got to check them out. So they go. They move on to play St. Louis in the next round. NC State, because they blew out Xavier. They blew them out. And University of Albany moves on to play Florida, which brings me to the March Madness, the real March Madness.
The bracket.
The bracket that I am going to fill out on air right now as I'm talking to you. So whatever I lose, we got something going on. We got us a little wager, a little bet going on our brackets. I don't know if I can fill it on air.
Pick up
late night. So we got it going on. And out here in the South, we have Florida against Albany in the first round. I'm taking Florida. Florida's number one overall. I'm really, my heart right now is rolling with Florida all the way.
All the way. I pick Florida to win it all.
You pick Florida to win it all?
Yeah, I pick Florida to win it all.
Now, from a novice, I'm going to say I'm a novice because I haven't been watching a whole lot of basketball this season. No, I did catch a game. What is it? Wichita State. No, they did an unbeaten team. They were like 34-0 or something.
Yeah. They're 1 seed too.
I caught a little bit of them. I caught a little bit of Arizona this season. I didn't catch Florida.
Yeah, I didn't really catch Florida. That's strange because I should have been here in Florida. I could have easily got them. I really wasn't watching it. I'm gonna be honest.
No Florida State.
First day in the NIT.
They didn't even make it.
But what about now? You asked me about Michigan State.
Okay. Just because I know that the experts
yeah.
are big on Michigan State this year. Because
they're kind of like a quiet sleeper. And I think, really this year, well, they ain't a sleeper. But they, because number one is really, this is the first year that the experts saying that it's really no clear-cut, real number one. But for
But then, see, and that's what I like about March Madness in the tournament itself is that it can be anybody.
Anything can happen.
You can be ranked number one all day long, but if you don't show up to play that day,
it's one game.
You're gonna get beat. Yeah. That's the beauty of the NCAA tournament. I mean,
that's why there's so much passion in it.
There's so much passion around this tournament because
I know there is no way I'll see you the next time we play.
That's why I like watching. I like watching it. See the passion, you see the competitiveness. And it's just good fun competitive. You know what I'm saying? And a good game. Good basketball. I'm a basketball fan, so I like football too now, which is crazy because I didn't really partake in playing it, but I always knew the game and knew how to play it. But question right quick before we move to the next topic because we're going to move on. Pro sports, pro basketball, or college basketball?
Basketball?
Yeah. Mm.
I would go with pro simply because I'm not really going to pay attention to either one until March Madness or the playoffs start. But the playoffs is a series.
Right.
Whereas March Madness, and I don't know, that could make a stronger point for college because it is one game and it is that passion in that one game. But I tend to lean more towards professional basketball.
I would have to say professional as well because you tend to
get better more game. It's more in depth.
Right. I would say you develop almost more of a relationship with the NBA players than you do with the college players because you know they putting their names out there a lot more in professional. Mm-hmm. While in college it's just a school. Mm-hmm. You know, no one player is really bigger than the school. You might be good on the team, but in the end it's school. So I would have to say pro.
From my point of view, I guess, and William will cover this one out, I like March Madness, but I ain't watching probably during the season.
Yeah.
I'm not watching college basketball during the season. I watch March Madness, that's it. And then you might lose me once you get in the Final Four. Because I just like the beginning rounds, really, because you don't know what's going to happen.
That's when I'm really
in. When it's a Final Four. And basically, man, you got a Sweet 16 or something, or sleeper, and I'm in it. But, I mean, I like the competitiveness. So, I guess the less the field get for me, the more the excitement kind of leads. Yeah. But I watch it all the way through. Pro basketball, the NBA, I'm a playoff man. And it might not even be till the division finals.
Playoffs.
Because y'all ain't watching the first round. So, I mean, that's that.
Yeah, we're just going to see how this thing plays out. Thank you for picking that bracket, though, because I need that.
Well, I'm going to see. I usually get lucky. But you know what the crazy thing about a bracket is? Most of the time, everybody misses a gazillion.
Yeah,
and right. Just end up picking the right team to win, which is the good part about it. We can move on to our next topic, man. We've had this topic. The next topic is actually a guest, one of our supporters' topics we're going to take on the air. We're going to put this out there from Milwaukee Mail. Melvin Thomas Jr. gave us a topic. It's a pretty in-depth topic. We as men are timid somewhat, but we're going to be real with you. We're going to just go do it. But it's why men cheat. That's the topic. And we're going to go ahead and move into that and see what our perspectives are. My perspective, I'll start off because I see my boy shaking his head. And since I'm talking, I'm all going to get it over with. My perspective is, I think most of the time men cheat. Just from a standpoint of, this is why I say you got to be careful. You got to be real careful.
Just understand, you're putting yourself in the position of Steve Harvey right now. We went at Steve Harvey for his book.
Right.
You in that position now, so just go ahead, but remember that.
It's more, let's say,
a lot of dead space on there, but do we want to talk about this?
Yeah, we're going to talk about it. They're not happy. I think if a man is cheating, I didn't want to put it out there, but look, Melvin, you asked for it.
Yeah,
we're gonna give it to you.
We're gonna have a talk off air, but that's for the topic one day.
Yeah. But I just think if I'm doing something outside of something I already got, I can't be totally feeling good about what I got.
Brilliant.
Or I'm not finding the things I may need with what I got to feel, or what I may think I need, that makes me reach outside of, which brings about cheat.
I'm going to say the reason why men cheat varies just as much as the way men cheat. Let me explain myself.
All right.
Men cheat for several reasons. Some men are just cheaters. They're going to cheat because it's just part of them. It's what they saw coming up or whatever. That's what they feel like a man is, or no, they're not satisfied with one woman. Whatever. Some men just cheat. And then there are those that are unhappy. Like you said, unhappy for whatever reason. They're not getting what they feel they need from their other half. And, you know, then those just are stupid. They're just stupid. You know, they do stuff because they can, and then they feel really stupid when they get caught. You know, so when I say the reason why men cheat varies is as much as the ways they can cheat. All right.
Okay. All right.
The ways men can cheat varies, and I hope we got some men out there listening, because, you know, I need y'all to understand this. All right. For men, usually we think cheating is just the physical act. Okay. I put my hands on somebody else that, and I'm involved in another relationship. All right. There's other ways to cheat as far as a woman is concerned, you know what I'm saying? I call them unsanctioned friendships. Inappropriate conversations. You know, why is it inappropriate? Maybe the matter that you're talking, what you're talking about, or just the simple fact that you're talking to somebody that's not your girlfriend, somebody that's not your wife. As far as a woman's concerned, that is cheating. You know, so hell, we could talk all day about why men cheat.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to educate people and let them understand that, you know, it's not just one way of cheat. It's a lot of different ways. And sometimes we can, as men, we get naive and think it's only one way, and we downplay it. Oh, I ain't doing nothing too bad. I ain't kissing her. I ain't spending a whole lot of time around her. But, you know, you texting her, you talking to them on the phone, that's cheating too.
Okay.
Yeah, we've been waiting.
I want to know, now I understand the topic is the topic, and he asked the question that he asked.
Right.
But why it got to be just men? Why are we talking about why people cheat?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, let's be fair. We're a fair bunch. much of a young man, and we like to, you know, we talked about double standards a couple of weeks ago, so let's reverse the double standard. We ain't going to just put this on men. Talking about people, why people cheat. Now, first off, I want to know, I'm going to ask y'all a question. If you're not married and you may be in a relationship with somebody, if you talk to other people, is that considered cheating?
It depends on the understanding.
I'm asking a question.
It depends on the understanding between you and that person you're in a relationship with. Because it might be cool. Y'all know y'all just friends, and it's friends on a level where I got other friends. But if it's friends where I don't want you talking to nobody else, then I shouldn't be talking to nobody else, if we're going to be fair.
So then we would categorize that as cheating. I call it more so lying. If you don't, I'm going to say it like this, like as an adult, you have the freedom to do whatever it is you want to do. And if you're not married, but yet call yourself dating, talking, relating with somebody else, if you know that you're not in a place where you're going to be with that one person, talk to that one person, relate with that one person, give them the respect of just being honest and letting them make a decision on whether they want to accept the fact that I got my options open. I might like you more than the rest, so I may spend more time with you. But I'm not married to you. We're not married. If I felt that it was strong enough to where I didn't want to talk to anybody else, or I didn't want to date anybody else, or this, that, and the third, then that's what we need to be talking about moving forward, marriage. But if we're not talking that, why can't I be open to other options? I don't necessarily know that you're the one I want to spend the rest of my life with.
So you're saying that, you know, as long as you're communicating to the person that, hey, you know, I may have other friends other than you, then it's not cheating?
No, because you've made a decision to continue talking to me knowing that I put that out there. I've told you, I'm not saying that it is happening right now, but there's a possibility that it might. So now you have a decision to make, whether you want to, and that's the conflict. We don't want to risk. We want our cake and want to eat it too.
So
there might be a lot that I like about you, and I don't want nobody else to have, and whatever the case may be, but at the same time, it might not be enough for me to commit totally to you. Well, but don't try to keep me, as we say, in a box just because you ain't made up your mind what you want to do. If you going to keep your options open, give me the
option
to keep my options open.
So what we say then, with that being stated, because I understand what you're saying, that cheating could be seen as ego-driven then.
Again, I'm going to go back to, and I separated in life. We're talking about single people. I wouldn't necessarily call that cheating. I just call that lying. Like, you lied about what you told me that we was in a certain place and I found out you somewhere else. You lied. You ain't necessarily cheat because we ain't married.
Well, then, if you single, I mean, you single. That means you're not in a relationship, though. Then, no, that's not.
It's cheating. Not cheating. Right. You're a liar. That's all. You just lie.
The question is, homeboy, why men cheat?
Now we're going to get that. But I'm saying, that's we got to separate it.
Why men cheat. Then if we throw a cheat in there, then we talk about men that are either
married
or
in a committed relationship.
I
need you to speak from that perspective.
Yeah. Why you got to bring me to? I was trying to ease my way around.
Yeah, we see that. And you almost was out. I had let your balls go.
Let me tell you why. Because I'm a married man, and this is a difficult conversation for me.
Yeah. So I'm going to go down.
If I got to go down, nigga,
you got to go down. I feel that.
Okay. I ain't married. Yeah. Okay, it is what it is. Whatever, let's go. Men, people, whoever, cheat for a number of reasons, like we already said. I think it all comes back to, though, not understanding or having worth for self.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't about the other person.
It's not a lot of time.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not even about you. If I understood who I was, then I wouldn't have, like, I'm trying to say this politically correctness. There's no reason to have somebody that you have saw enough in to dedicate yourself to, but yet feel, because maybe, like you say, because I can, or because I was in a moment of frustration, or because whatever arose, I forget about who you are to me, and I go ahead and do my thing.
Okay.
Now, you got to categorize, you got to separate the different types of men that we're talking about. Like you say, some of them just stupid. Some of them just don't care. Like, I really don't, until you catch me,
mm-hmm. I don't care if you do catch me.
Yeah, well, then I'm caught.
Now what?
You still got a decision to make. Because if I feel like that, ain't nothing going to stop me from doing it. So I'm pretty much going to keep doing it.
I think the other elephant in the room, too, though, for cheating, as far as for men or women, is temptation. Temptation.
You always going to have that, though, man.
Some men weak to it, though. Some men weak to it.
That's why I go back to self. I mean, let's take, we're talking about cheating, but it could be stealing.
Yeah.
You might want something and not have the money to get it. So
it's
just because you
act.
Yeah.
What it is, it definitely is a selfish act. You don't really, I don't think when people cheat, not necessarily just men, when people cheat, it's a selfish act in the sense that you're not really thinking about that other person that you're with. You're not thinking about how you can hurt them. You're not thinking about anything. It's whatever it is you're gaining from that situation, whether it's the physical interaction, whether it's just a conversation, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Talking to somebody different, they're from a different person that can bring a different perspective than what you're used to. You know what I'm saying? You mess around, I catch myself, I almost cut. You mess around and you get caught up in conversation with someone, one of those unsanctioned friendships, like, as I call them. I call it unsanctioned because you ain't running by the other person.
Yeah.
They don't know nothing about this person. They don't know that you're developing this friendship. You know what I'm saying?
And you're doing it secretly.
Right.
And so something wrong.
Exactly. So
yeah.
Something wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
here's the thing. Where I said it goes back to self. This is how I look at cheating. When you say, oh, you cheated, who did I really cheat? Did I cheat you? Because I'm of the opinion if I'm cheating myself. And I say that because if I'm married, I have to understand that every action has a consequence.
Mm-hmm.
When I step outside of my vows, when I step outside of my relationship, it may hurt you, but it ain't half as much as it's going to hurt me
mm-hmm.
in the long run, whether I understand it or not. I'm going to pay for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it may hurt you because the trust is broken or no, this and that. So
but
I'm going to pay for it on that end.
Trust.
What I'm going to deal with from this ain't even comparable to what you
that,
deal
that
with.
That regaining that trust?
Yeah. So, to anybody listening, if you want to know why men cheat, we telling you why not to cheat.
Yeah, I can't tell you why
yeah,
you
we telling you why not to cheat. Because we all been in situations where we've had to deal with it. I mean, we're going to be honest. We all been in situations where we had to deal with this one time or another, and just being real about it, it was harder after doing it, and the pleasure we got in doing it wasn't worth it. And that's speaking from my personal understanding.
Ain't a man.
That's just speaking from my personal understanding, man.
Like, again, you have people who haven't been taught anything other than that.
Yeah.
I've seen, like, again, we go back
it's
to
cool.
men, and
it's looked on
exactly
as cool.
Right,
yeah.
For men.
Yeah. Yeah. For men.
It looked at it, man, as much as get what you can get.
Yeah.
As long as you can get away with it. But at the end of the day, all you're telling them is you're telling them how to hurt themselves.
Selves. Not hurt nobody else, but they self.
Yeah. Look how many people you done brought into all this madness you got.
Yeah. That's it. That's really the side of it that most people miss. When you do cheat, it just don't affect you.
Affect you.
Yeah. It just don't affect you, you know? At that moment, you getting the affection out of doing it or the pleasure out of doing it, but the effect, that triple effect, like throwing a rock in the ocean, that happens afterwards.
Yeah, it ain't even worth it. It's really not.
Nah, it is not. Mel, we appreciate that that topic, man, and we ask that, I guess, continue to send in their thoughts and requests on topics, because as you can see, we going to make sure your topic make it to air. we're going to move on, we're going to wrap that topic up, move on to our next topic, which is the definition of a gold digger. We've been trying to get here for about two weeks.
About 2 weeks now we've been trying to hit
this. Trying to get 2 weeks. So, Bone, it's your topic. I'm going to let you start it out. You're going to give us a little.
All right, it ends up being my topic, but I'll open it up.
What am
I
doing?
I guess it was both our topics. We walked in on this topic.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. No, I take that back.
People. definition of gold digger. I guess it came up in conversation, you know, as men, I'm going to put it even more specific. As men with daughters, okay, how do we toe the line, I'll say, as far as teaching your daughters how to be, to look for the finer things in life, I think is what I'm trying to say. To look for the finer things in life, not to settle, while at the same time not becoming someone whose sole objective, and I think I want to, that needs to be said clearly, whose sole objective is financial gain. And I want to put that out there real quick that, as far as I'm concerned, that's my definition of a gold digger.
Which is someone
whose primary goal, whose only objective is their financial gain out of a relationship. Okay, so with that definition, I mean, would you say your definition is about the same or would it differ?
It would be about the same. I would question why we limit it to relationships.
Okay.
If your primary objective or goal is financial gain in anything, does that make you a gold digger? In any situation, I'm not just talking about boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife relationship, work relationship, or friendship.
Yeah, I was going to say, you opening the door to a whole nother.
I mean, we
can
call it what it is.
Think about it.
Call it what it is.
If you have friendships with people simply because of what they can do for you financially, then that means,
you're a gold digger.
With that being said, I mean, gold diggers, that we would have to change the
whole thought process that was brought into it. Yeah.
What a gold digger is, because then that opens it up to not just being women, that could be men too.
Yeah, that's one of my points, that men can be gold diggers. But it goes back almost to why men cheat, because you got this kind of aura over a man cheating being the cool thing to do. So if you getting some out of it too, oh, you even cooler than you was before just cheating. So the male gold digger is kind of not even looked down upon, but there is, because it's stuck to the woman as if that's all you want.
Right.
Let me ask this question though. What do we do? And I guess I'll say it like this: name an activity that we participate in as human beings where the object is not to gain.
Okay.
Nothing really.
I see where you're going with that.
But where I bring it in is, if I'm in a relationship, my gain should be getting something more intricate out of that person than just material.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I didn't say money.
Yeah. But the gold digger, from the standpoint I'm looking at the definition, is more you looking for materialistic things.
The reason why I asked that question is because when it comes to a person giving what they might not necessarily want to give, then you label the person that you're giving to, you get what I just said? If you know that you're in this to benefit and to gain, why can't she be in it to benefit and gain? Now, we were talking about daughters. And how, and I said I wouldn't go put my daughter in this, but I am. If we teach our kids, and specifically daughters, to, and we do, you don't want no broke man. You don't want no man that can't take care of you. You don't want no man that can't handle his responsibilities. You don't want no man that can't do this. You don't want no man that can't do that. Right? In some shape or fashion, are we teaching them, or can it be mistaken for raising gold diggers? You know what I mean? Because that is the way we teach our daughters, but yet when it comes to our peers, our female peers, if they have that mentality, then we label them a gold digger.
That's how the question was presented to us, too.
Exactly.
So we had to kind of, we stopped, paused, just like we did when you just asked us that, because we thought about it. Like, you know, we do hold some kind of accountability, but from inside my personal self, I have to say, my intentions are not to make my daughter understand to get materialistic things. It's to make her understand what she should be acceptable to from a male, as far as if he can, he should be able to provide. He should be able to show you he loves you. He should be able to tell you he loves you. He should be able to touch you, hug you. He shouldn't talk to you any kind of way. Those are the kind of things I'm giving my daughter. It may seem as if I'm spoiling her because I'm light on her and I'm giving her these things in abundance, but the reality is this is what I ideally want for her to be have her whole life.
Right, but we want to focus on, because you're not teaching your daughter to come up and be broke.
Yeah.
And you're also not teaching her to marry broke. So let's stay on the topic of finances, because we're talking about gold digger. Yeah, we all want them to be happy, and we all want them to have the intangibles and all of that. But money, we all know it takes money to live in this world.
Yeah, but she don't need a male to give her money.
Right, but if she has built herself up to a certain level,
mm-hmm.
through her education and her work and her whatever else, she's
sustained.
Exactly. Like, the way I said it was like this, like, I don't want you to marry a man for his money, because he has a lot of money, or because he has what seems to be a lot of money, this, that, and third. I want you to be able to bring to the table,
mm-hmm. more,
but don't bring to the table, how do I say that? Like, don't bring to an empty table.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it right there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, that's what all I yeah.
That's now, if you marry up, okay, good. But that, I'm not saying focus
on
marrying
up. Yeah.
Just if you find somebody that can sustain, you two can sustain together.
Mm-hmm.
You're not bringing him down. He's not bringing you down. Then that's
what we should be teaching our daughters is, you know, being able to do for self.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Know, be able to do for yourself, to not have to depend on a man. So if they don't have to depend on a man, then they're not going to just go out there looking for a man that's going to be able to take care of them.
Right. I want my daughter to be able, when she gets to that point where she's, I want her answer to be, when I ask her this question, however it comes out about the financial situation, because I'm going to ask, how is that all going to work? I want her answer to be more so like, no, I don't need to depend on him, but I'm able, and it kind of goes back to that submission thing. Mm-hmm. I know that I can depend on him. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I don't need to, but I know that I can. And he knows that. I don't need your money. I don't need anything that you gained prior to meeting you, but I'm willing and I am able to help you sustain. Looks like we got a call. I'm going to put myself on hold for a second. Caller, you live. Go ahead. You got a question, comment?
Yeah, man, it's Milwaukee, man. I just want to give a big props, man, to that last segment, man. Y'all put my topic out there. I appreciate it.
What's up, man?
We
appreciate
the love,
man. What's happening with you?
Well, I was listening to
the
gold digging.
I know you probably
didn't
tell us why dudes cheat.
No, I was driving, man, and I couldn't touch base, but I was listening. So I couldn't call in at that moment, but I definitely.
Well, man, I'm interested on your thoughts on the definition of a gold digger. What would be your definition?
I was just about to spill down on that. And I'm hearing how y'all speaking, you know, how y'all raise y'all daughters and, you know, not to be dependent on that. I think all men do that. But in the same sense, I'm going to raise my daughter that way. But if that trick don't pay her, break him.
Yeah.
He's going to give to you, break him. I want her to have her own crib, her own job. Definitely want her to be independent. But, you just got some cats out there that's dropping it like that. If they got it, take it. Don't turn out nothing but your collars. You know what I mean? I don't think that would make her a bad person. It wouldn't make me a bad person if, you know, I had a job, I'm doing whatever I do, but if some woman, she want to keep me late, keep me looking good, finding things, hey, I'm going to take it. I ain't going to turn out nothing but my collars.
So you said, oh wow, we heard what you said. I'm gonna ask you this. If your daughter then turns around and becomes labeled as a gold digger, how do you feel about that?
That sounds like something being said on the outside looking in. You got to be on the inside to know what's going on. So I mean it is
hey,
what it is. As long as I know what's going on, I'm good. I'm good.
That's a good comeback. That is a great comeback. That was a great comeback. I was wondering how you was going to answer that. Because I was sitting there thinking, like, he put me in a bad spot. But that's real. That's really real, though. If I know what's good here, you know what's good here, I really care what the outside got to say. Because they're going to make up what they want in it.
You're going to get a title either way. I don't care what you're doing in life. Somebody's going to title you with something. They're going to title you with something. It's going to be a nickname. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you walk like a frog. That's going to be your nickname. Your frog.
And then, Mel, I think you got a bad connection, Mel. I think we put piecing together what you're saying, but I don't know if you're on the cell phone.
No, we're catching the ball.
I was just saying, we're going to get titles put on us, whatever we do in life, whether it's good or bad. I mean, I don't care how much good in life you think you're doing. Like, I think Obama doing a hell of a job. Got all those people out there. Oh, he ain't doing nothing. You got health care, don't you? Your mom and them got health care, don't they? You know, it's a lot of, you just got to put it together, man. You got to, like, sort of put yourself in the inside and look at things. Instead of being on the outside, just judging people. No, you can't do that, man. You can't do that.
That's good insight, man. I appreciate that, man. That's real good insight.
I don't know. I get it, but I'm putting myself in the position of how I would feel about somebody who would, like, I know you don't need it. See, me, I test you. I might know you don't need it. But I ask you anyway, and you always got your hand out. You always saying yeah. I'm going to be reluctant to give you when you really need it. You know what I mean? Because you get turned down sometimes. You can turn down sometimes.
The only thing about that for me is, though, I ain't giving you nothing if I don't want you. So if I give it to you, I don't care how you take it or how much you take it.
Hence the name of the title of the show. Thin line.
Yeah,
it's a thin line, bro. It's a between you know, willingly giving something to a person that you care about, and that person taking advantage of your kindness.
But don't you think it's inevitable for them to try to take advantage of somebody who's always giving?
No, I'm not gonna say that. Not all people. No, not all people. Not everybody's gonna take advantage of your kindness.
And then, but I don't care. Because if I'm doing it, I'm not doing it for that. I'm doing it just for the reason of doing it out of kindness of me. You know what I'm saying? What you say, man? I think I heard you.
I think it's kind of different. If you taking advantage of somebody with malice, like, you know what I'm saying, I'm going to my woman and I'm, baby, you know, my mom in jail. I need some money to bail her out. You know what I'm saying? Can you help me out? But my mama with her feet kicked up in Florida. You know what I'm saying? That's malice. So that's taking advantage of somebody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the intent. But if you, like, coming with something genuine, you know what I'm saying, you ain't even got to ask. All you got to do is be like, man, my car done got towed. I don't know how I'm going to get to work. I'm going to have to call somebody. Oh, baby, you ain't got to call nobody. I got you.
Okay, let me ask this question.
It just comes easy like this. Because people want to be helped, so you know what I mean?
we're putting a lot of the gold digging on the woman, like we were putting the cheating on the man.
Mm-hmm.
Let's flip the script.
Flip it.
What if it's the man? You say take it.
Hey, this one if you don't change on either side. They don't say get it. He turned out. Not but his cop.
But yeah, I mean, do we look down at a man who's getting financial assistance from his female?
Nah, that's that double standard.
Yeah, that's that double standard.
Then he's a pimp.
Oh, okay.
My wife
still. I guess it all depends on who you ask. Because some people would say, he ain't a man. You got to depend on your woman to take care of you. You ain't a man.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are other people who will say, yeah, he's a pimp. It's what he do.
And then you'll have other people say, take the Melvin standpoint from the female side and say, get what you can get. He's supposed to take care of you. And then you have other people say, she's a golden. So I guess it works on both sides.
But I understand what you're saying, Corey. Now, if that man can't take care of himself without that woman, then yeah, I'd probably look down. But if he
right.
But we said we're doing things to our own daughters, though.
Being independent.
We said we want to have a point.
Go ahead, man. Sorry to cut you off.
I was just saying you what I was saying earlier, it's got to be you gotta be independent out the jump. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can't be, you know what I'm saying, without your own and then trying to, you know what I'm saying, have your hand out or, you know what I'm saying, accepting money, then you're a bum. Then yes, you're a beggar. But if you got your own and somebody is willing to help you to even achieve more and get more, I'm gonna take it. Don't turn down nothing. I'm gonna take that.
We
I don't
see,
consider
man.
It, even if it was a man. Even if it was a man, I don't think that man would be looked down upon. Not in my eyes. If he got a job, he's going to work. You know, that's just like this. If you was, I'm gonna give y'all a scenario. If y'all seen a dude going down the street and he got a shopping cart, I mean, full of stuff. I mean, he can barely get it out. He's pushing it. He's turning around, putting his back up against it. I mean, he's trying to get it down there the best way he can. I mean, what are you going to do? You going to sit there and watch him, or you going to help that man out?
He's a man.
Like
he better get it
himself. It's
not like he ain't. If he's a man, he better figure out his own way to get it himself.
If you see this dude, he got the same shopping cart, and he's just sitting there waiting on somebody to come help him. You're going to walk past him.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. That's a good point, man. That's a good point, man. It's a real good point. I think we done beat on this. Go ahead, now.
No, I was just saying, so that's why I see the difference at. You know what I'm saying? If it was a man or a woman and they was labeled as a gold digger, if they were still handling their own, they had their own job, and with that man or woman or not taking care of them or in their hands, they still doing fine, I don't see that as a gold digger.
Well, it all comes back to personal opinion.
Yeah.
That's,
and we respect that. Yeah. I agree with Mel on some points. I agree with Corey on some points. I agree with Bone. All of them open me up to understand where the understanding, the definition of a gold digger really lead. We're going to move on to our next topic because we beat that one up a little bit. But it's good because it's a deep topic. You know what I'm saying? It's a deep topic. So ain't nothing wrong with that. The next topic, which is this is the topic Corey brought to us, and it's conspiracy theory. So we're going to let Corey go ahead and open us up on conspiracy theories, because there's so many out there.
Yeah, man, and what really brought this to the table was, of course, this plane that's still missing.
Mm-hmm.
We started talking about it a little bit last week, but there are so many more that can be considered or have at one point in time been considered conspiracy theories. Now, the first question I have is, what is a conspiracy theory? When somebody says, when somebody puts that term out there, what are they saying to you? What does that mean to you?
That's a good question, because you just automatically know in your mind what it is, but to put it in words, sometimes it's kind of, like, you feel like you're on the spot. But you're really not. You just know what you want to say. You just might not know how to bring it together.
Mm-hmm.
But to say, to me, what a conspiracy theory is, something that just fishy. I mean, I know that might be cliche and old school, but it's just something don't add up. The math, I done gave you the numbers, as my boy love to say. It came from an old wise man. I done gave you the numbers, but it ain't adding up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So that's what I see as a conspiracy theory, and that's what I see as this plane disappearing, because it just don't add up to me how a plane full of people just disappear.
Yeah.
I mean, this is movie type stuff.
It'll be one soon.
Yeah, I mean, and rightfully so. I mean, a lot of times I talk trash about it, but this one here is a good movie. This is a good storyline.
All right, so I'm looking this up, and it says,
mm-hmm.
conspiracy theory is an explanatory proposition that accuses two or more persons, a group or an organization, of having caused or covered up through secret planning and deliberate action. So, basically, it's somebody who did something and tried to cover it up with something else.
Right.
Another story. Okay. How many current, well, they're not current, but at one point in time they were current events, can we consider a conspiracy theory? Like the main one I would say is, because it hit home, it was close to home.
9/11.
We just took... And there wasn't a whole lot of thought that went into all of that. We just took what was reported because we saw with our natural eyes a plane, we saw with our natural eyes through video a plane crashing into buildings and then the buildings fall, collapse, right? Do we ever go back and get a true account of what happened? Or do we just always accept what the media reports?
A lot of times we just accept. Especially in the case of 9/11, I think it was so
caught off guard,
dramatic and so unexpected that we were just hungry for answers. So any kind of answer anybody gave us, we just accepted.
Right. Right.
And we had never seen it before, so it whatever you told us kind of made sense.
Right.
Because we didn't know what to expect or how it came about.
Now, in picking this topic, I sat down with myself, let's say itself. Now, what are you going to do with this? So I started thinking about things that didn't make sense about the stories that we were told. Now, we're talking 9/11, let's talk 9/11. I started going into that last week, but we kind of went off because that wasn't the topic we have, but now it is. I don't see a plane going through, and on the video, the plane, and I know this is 13 years old, but the plane went through one side of the building, and a camera on the other side of the building caught the nose coming out of the plane before the building, like right when the building exploded. So what it looked like is the plane flew straight through the building.
And then the building started to collapse.
Right? Then there was an explosion, and then the plane started to collapse. I mean, the building started collapsing all that. The question I asked last week, and we didn't go into it, is like, why didn't none of that plane break off when it hit the building?
No wing, no tail fin, no nothing. You don't recall seeing any of that.
Okay. No part of the plane broke off. They couldn't find any debris. Reports. Now, I went back.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Reports. There were no reports of plane debris being found. How is that? Where the black box?
I don't know, man. I mean, and we just took it for what it was worth.
Think about the images we saw. And I don't know. I think everybody should have saw it because they show all these images over and over and over again. This was such a big deal. Like, one dude stood on the ground. I think this is when the second one. It might have been when the first one. I don't know. He was on the ground. And we could see the plane flying over his head.
Going into the building?
Going into the building. Right? Now, he was standing there holding conversation. The plane had already hit the building, and then there was an explosion, and he looked up and got wrecked. What's wrong with that? Now, from what I just explained, imagine yourself standing next to a building, and a plane fly over your head, hit a building, but you don't react until the actual collision. What's wrong with that?
Let me play devil's advocate just a little bit. Not that's not usually my role, that's usually yours or dad's role. But I'm gonna play devil's advocate a little bit. All right. We know, like you said, the images, right?
Mm-hmm.
We know how big a plane is.
Mm-hmm.
That plane, from the images I remember, was pretty dwarf compared to the size of the building.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing. So that, to me, can kind of explain to why maybe I didn't see much airplane debris, because obviously that's a big-ass building. That plane took the whole plane. So we ain't even going to see none because it's all in the building.
Okay.
All right, that's one.
Okay.
Now, the man's reaction, and from what I'm taking from what you're saying, is his reaction was delayed. Didn't the planes hit like the 90-something floor?
Yeah, it was way up.
It was way hell up there. I mean, so
he could have been looking at it and realized. I mean, he could have been shot.
Could have been shot. And I think that distance, if he's on the ground, they're on the 90-something floor, it's going to be a slight delay in reaction if he didn't see it happening right when it happened. If he was responding to the sound, then it's going to be a little delay in sound.
No.
So I'm proving your point?
No. Because you could have been blind and not saw. You're standing downtown New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't no plane supposed to be flying that low.
Gotcha.
So there should have been some sound. The sound
yeah.
that comes from that plane alone should have been enough to make you be like, wait, oh, something is wrong.
Unless there was a lot of chaos going on already.
I look at it.
But you know what we're doing? We're trying to explain it because we don't have it.
We don't have an explanation.
So we're taking the wrong way to get it. Yeah.
And see, my conspiracy would be, you trying to tell me we didn't know these planes were headed to downtown New York before they even got close enough to hit this building?
Man, there's so many holes, so many things that don't make
sense.
But because you have visual, you can't go against what you see. Right?
Ain't no way in the world. Nobody, military or anybody, would not have seen these planes going off course for that long. It's not like they waited till the last second to break course.
They had been way off course.
There is no flight route that flies you
directly through downtown New York. So you mean to tell me that we didn't know well ahead of time that these planes were doing something they had no business? We didn't have no kind of F-16s or nothing on the side of, hold on, bro, where y'all going? What's going on this plane? If you don't respond, we're going to shoot you down. The movie type stuff we see, you mean to try to tell me? Come on, man.
No, we didn't, but somebody did.
Yeah. Come on, man.
Somebody knew.
Well, like I said, when we talked about this the last time, the one that was headed to the White House got shot down.
Okay.
And the one that was going, I think it caught the, well, let me take that back. Because the conspiracy is it wasn't shot down.
Yeah, they said
the passenger took over the plane.
It was a movie about it.
So, I mean, they made them seem as martyrs and, you know, heroes or whatever. But
of course, because they don't want America to know that we went to shoot down our own.
We killed 100-some innocent Americans, you know.
We're not going to tell Joe Schmo that your auntie was on that plane and we shot her down. We're going to tell you your auntie stood up out of her seat and fought for her life and the plane went down. That's what we're going to tell you. We don't want you to know that we're willing to kill our own citizens
to protect ours.
Come on, man. They had to do that. They would have, I'm sorry.
And
they had to shoot that plane down simply because if they would have allowed that plane to reach the White House.
We would have been so vulnerable because now you can get to us.
A plane can get that close to the White House?
Listen to me, young man. We are in America.
Yeah.
One of the greatest nations on the planet. I do not believe for one second that could have happened and nobody in our government or nobody in, what do people call who watch over that? The
CIA?
The air traffic control is what they
call it. Oh, yeah. That would fall under the Air Force, though. Central, what is the CIA?
The point I'm trying to make is, man, somebody knew.
Yeah.
Somebody knew and somebody allowed it to happen.
Nah, I agree with you on that. I don't know about no plane and parts falling and nothing about that, but I would agree with you that somebody had to have known that was maybe they didn't know specifically the target, but they knew that plane had no business going towards New York City. They knew that.
They let it go.
They let that plane go.
So it was let in.
Right.
It was let in.
Right. So if you let the plane get that close to the building, then why wouldn't I believe that you knew this was a plan all from the beginning?
Look, I don't put nothing.
It opens the door for all.
Once I said I believe it was done, plan, it was planned, I can go along with your scenario too.
You have satellites in space that can pinpoint and take a picture of somebody standing outside their house.
Right now.
Right now, this moment.
Right now.
But you don't know where a plane at that left Malaysia? Yeah. You don't know. Oh, okay.
The plane just disappeared.
It just disappeared in thin air.
You just lost it. Now you don't know where it's at.
Yeah. See, somebody will sit back and listen to this like, man, y'all go here, y'all there, man. Like, it can happen. No, man, no. These people will not allow. They are in the know.
Mm-hmm.
And once they want to be in the know, they want to know everything. And they're going to do everything in their power to know everything.
You can say they are the know.
They are the know.
Yeah. They make it happen. The stuff that we talk about, if our assumptions are right, they created them.
Okay.
Right. So what is the know is what they gave us to know.
You can find a man in the middle of a desert.
Yeah.
But you can't find an airplane?
A big old huge airplane with all these people in it.
Get out of here.
And the box is nowhere to be found, none of that. The plane is just gone.
You have gotten it so intelligent to where you can track. There are three numbers that are tied to us, to every individual. You got your social security number tied to you. You got a phone number, and most everybody got a phone number. Yeah. Those two alone are enough to track you at any given point in time. Like, they can find you wherever you are.
Cell phones are easier, too. The only thing we realize, it could be a conspiracy behind that, too. But that's just my take on it, because do you know... You can tell me, I can tell you where you at or what you done or where you was just by your cell phone.
Yeah, you can take a picture with your phone and poke the geotag stuff they do on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
That tells you a location. That tells where you are.
Yeah.
I use the word for Nextel, right? And my job was, it was a network engineer technical support, right? What my job was to take all the problem calls. When you call in to say, my phone's dropping calls or this, that, and the third, I would then go into a satellite. Put your phone number in, and it would tell me where you were at the time you dropped the call. The closest tower.
Yeah, to you.
Now, the towers ain't spread out that far.
Right.
You know what I mean? Exactly. They can get you within a 1 to 2 mile radius at any given point in time just from your phone number. Why do you think they use that now in solving murder cases and, you know what I mean? Yeah. Stuff like that. These people know. These people know, and they know everything. They try to keep us. Okay.
No, you good.
I think we went over our time.
But that's okay. I mean, it's a good topic, but... Of course, we're going to get all our topics in, so we're going to move on to our next one, which is 50-50 households. Another one we've been had on the list for a while and never got to, but we decided to go ahead and get to it. So we're 50-50 households.
We all over the place.
We're 50-50 households, though.
That was mine. When I came up with this in the thought process of... Not so much, and I know what people are thinking when I say 50-50, you're thinking, I'm thinking the financial side of it. You know, that's not what I'm really talking about. What I'm talking about is the everyday running of the household. In your household, would you say that the responsibilities of running your everyday household is 50-50? Speaking for myself, it's not. Because I'm gonna tell you straight up, I don't wash dishes. I will not wash a dish. I'm wrong as hell, but I won't. You know what I'm saying? I'll set my 8-year-old son up with a chair to wash dishes before I will. I have, But that's just something that just that's just me. My wife understands that. I'm not going to wash dishes.
Do you use the dishes?
Yeah, I use them.
Well, then it's 50-50.
That ain't 50-50.
You use
it. I use
it.
She clean it.
Hey, it's 50-50. I'm just,
So that's where I was going with the whole topic of 50-50.
I feel you. Now, for me, 50-50, I mean, sometimes it balances itself out, and it's all up into the understanding you have in your marriage, too,
yeah.
Or in your relationship, because it's a household, because you don't necessarily have to be married to live together. So if I understand that certain things I'm going to do, this, and you understand that certain things I expect of you, and that works for us, it could be 60-40.
If that works
for us. If it works for us, it's okay. I mean, it's just the equivalent to, it might not be the equivalent to 50-50, but that's what works for me. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
It makes sense.
It does.
Just, you know, the sense that some people, because this can go with either male or female.
Yeah.
If I'm the primary breadwinner, then, you know, it's less that I should have to do in the household. I'm not saying I think that way. I'm just saying I know people that
think that way. Yeah.
So I go to work.
Yeah.
I work. I come home. I ain't doing nothing else for the rest of the
right.
day.
Well, that could be the agreement. You know what I mean? Like, that could be the agreement.
That could be the
household.
Most important for that. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, would that work for your household? That's something you would have to, you know, figure out or whatever the case may be. But why got to be 50-50? Why can't be 100-100? Why
what?
We both can't give 100 in this? You wash the dishes sometimes.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
What
he
ain't gonna
okay,
do it
so
at
all.
Let's
do this.
I'm waiting for my kids to get old enough. That's what I had them for.
What if she turned around? What if she turned around and say to you, let's say, God forbid, something happened, you lose your job, whatever.
Right.
And now you out of a job, and she just blatantly tell you, you got to find. I'm not going to work. How you feel?
I feel like as a man, that's my responsibility. That's the 60 or the 40 or the 50 that I bring to the relationship. I need to go get my ass a job.
Oh, okay. So it's okay to say I ain't gonna go. I'm not gonna work.
For me.
Nah, that ain't kicking me.
Now, if we have to do that, if it's to the point where me alone I can't do that, then hey, look.
No, she's telling you no. I'm not gonna do it. Well, just like you ain't gonna wash the dishes.
Okay. Well, then we are gonna downsize. We're gonna get rid of them dishes. We're going to go sell them. We're going to go get us a paper plate.
But something's going to work out.
We're going to sell this nice china, man. We're going to go and get rid of these outfits and these shoes or whatever we got. If that's the case.
No, I don't think you can approach a marriage with the opinion or the idea that there is no, there is one thing that I refuse to do. There is anything that I'm not going to do. Now,
I do the laundry before I wash the dishes.
Well, okay, that's a compromise. If she okay with that, that works.
Hey, he got PTSD. He got scarred somewhere washing dishes. And now he refused to do it.
Your mama made you wash dishes?
A little bit, but I mean, not much. I think you're right, though. I think I did suffer for something. You know, something about the food on the plate.
I want
to touch your food. I eat that. You ate that. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what you put back on there or what you took off. And I got to clean it? Nah.
But what if she just washed hers and the kids and don't wash yours for that same reason? I don't know what you put on the plate.
I might be all right with that. Because then I'm going to use paper plates and paper cups and plastic utensils.
Yeah, yeah, you.
Amazon. Put that on me then. And if I have to wash a bowl or a plate, I might have to wash while I ride one of my kids and then wash them.
Okay, let's go back. 50-50 households, right? Like, I think it's all based on communication. We just have to establish our roles. And I hate to say roles, but that's what it is. I mean, everybody has a role in this system. And we designate roles. Now, I'm not saying that sometimes I can't cover your role, but know your role and just handle your role. I handle my role and the system will work the way it's supposed to. Now, if your role, there's no designation of what your role is outside of that conversation. That conversation is going to dictate what our roles are. That's what I'm trying to get.
I think some people would have a problem with the idea that it's something specifically for me to do in a relationship, and it's something specifically for you to do in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
To say that I have a role that I have to play within this relationship, I think some people will have a problem with that.
Well, they might. And then those people just have to find somebody else who has a problem with roles, and then they'll get along.
Yeah, that's true.
But you can't be with a person who likes roles or respects roles,
right,
and you don't respect roles and expect that to work.
That comes back to the foundation. I'm building a 50-50. You have to be on the same page to even give me 50.
Exactly. Yeah. You just got to find somebody who do things the way you do things.
And the thing, either side, I think the whole understanding of 50-50 is male or female, to be effective as a leader, you have to be effective as a follower. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I'm going to have to be willing sometimes to give some of myself to fall behind what you're doing.
I see where you're going.
To so give 50% to what...
I consider myself to be the head of my household.
Right.
And in order for me to be an effective leader, you're just saying something every now and then, I might have to wash some dishes.
Right. Yes. And show them. I can do that too.
I'm willing to go where I don't want to go.
Oh, yeah.
For you. So, yes, I expect the same thing. There's some things you might not want to do, but hey, it's me you talking to. Remember me? I washed the dishes last week. Remember that?
I'm seeing change in you, so I can give you that change in other aspects where you thought I wouldn't change.
That's why I say 100-100.
Okay.
Now, I think as it's more so gender-based. That's why I was going with roles. Like, most men, their extent of household stops at bills. Outside of bills?
Yeah.
I don't know too much more about what goes on in the household as a daily operation.
I take the trash out for you.
Yeah, I will do that.
Right.
Now, I'm not, I'm personally, you know what I'm saying, I do have a problem washing dishes. not to your extent, though,
I'm different, though. I know I'm different. I told y'all the other night I got a little OCD, so. I want everything in place. So if I got to do it, because it got to be the way I want it to be done, I'm washing dishes. I'm vacuuming the house. I'm shampooing the rug. I'm making the bed. Because you know why? The bed got to look exactly like it did when I first pitched. I know that's crazy.
Yeah.
But that's me, though, dog.
That's I'm folding the clothes. Right,
I'm washing and folding the clothes because I wash and fold a certain way. Don't bring me my clothes and they ain't done the way I did. Because if they come that way, I'm going to unfold them in front of you. And refold them how I like.
Now that I'm with you on. I my clothes gotta be a certain way. I don't care who I wash my own clothes. I don't care where I'm at.
But I'm to the extent where your clothes gotta look just like I was.
No, I don't care about your clothes. You do what you want to do.
I gotta do everything the same way. I know it's crazy, man. I know it's extreme, but that's just the truth, dude. That's the truth. But I was pointing that out because I was saying like, because most of the time you don't see that on a man. Like most men, like you say, the thing is I paid the bill. Why you can't? Why you don't do nothing? Watch the clothes.
No, I wasn't saying it like that. I was saying it like, even if we both work and we both pay bills,
that just falls on you.
The extent of me knowing what goes on in this house stops at bills. Once I know that the bills have been paid,
that other part is for you to take care of.
Now, something outside, I take care of. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to make sure that that's done.
I'm more of a protector. When I need to step in, I need to step in. Or I already know what I need to be done. You ain't even got to worry about it. So you can take care of the things that's here.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I can walk to the refrigerator and see that the juice getting low.
Yeah.
I just expect the next time I come to the refrigerator to get some juice that it's going to be some juice. Now, if I got to say, hey, man, ain't no juice, what happened? And I knew that the juice was getting low. I'm not going to, hey, okay, somebody got to go get some juice. No, you don't. It's in the refrigerator. Why can't you get no juice right now?
Because you feel like because you go to work and you pay the bills, one of them bills is groceries.
Yes.
So I know I'm doing my part. I know I'm going to work.
Look,
I know I'm breaking the
bills. I ain't saying it ain't no juice because it wasn't no money to buy no juice.
I'm saying no juice because you was drunk a bottle of juice.
Now, anything outside of that. I can't tell you why there's no juice, but I know why it should be some juice, man.
I feel you on that one. But, I mean, the first thing they're going to say to you is you don't want no juice.
Yeah. Okay, you thought what no juice. You thought juice was low the last time you looked in the refrigerator. Why you ain't getting no juice?
Your coward.
That's my role. I'm the juice buyer.
Yeah!
When you drink, y'all.
Yeah. I mean, not like that, but I mean, that's petty. But you get where I'm going.
Yeah, man, I'm going to understand, man. But that's real. That's the fact of the matter. It's real. So I think the 50-50 thing, like, it's up to everyone's individual interpretation and then their relationship understanding. You know what I'm saying? Like, because like I said, it could be 60-40, but that worked for you, that worked for you. Because you giving her what she needs and she giving you what you need, and y'all happy. Like Mel said earlier, the outside conversation really don't matter what I know what's going on the inside. You know what I'm saying? So,
no, I'm going to say this, and I'm just being silly, but I'm going along with your OCD-ness.
Yeah.
My second word of the day. Like, I don't, you say you care about her clothes, and I don't care what you do with your clothes. But the one thing that will drive me crazy every time is when, like, okay, remote controls are made for convenience.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
If I got to look for the remote control, that defeats the purpose of the remote control. It's very simple. Use the remote, put the remote back where you found it from. That is my pet peeve.
I'm laughing at you, right? Simply because I'm the same way about keys, man.
Yeah, yeah.
The car keys. Why the car keys can't always be back in the same place, man? So we both use the car. Okay, I understand we both use the car. So it should be a central area where we put the car keys so that whoever needs the car, they can get the keys. It should not have to be hide-and-go-seek every time when somebody needs to use the car because they can't find the keys.
Yeah. I get that, but
the remote control is working.
Yeah, man, like, I don't even want to watch TV no more.
This blows, Joe. Yeah, man, I feel you. For me, I can go into everything because if you pick up anything and it was sitting where it was before and that's where it usually sit and you move it, for me, you done messed up. I need to know why you bothered that. It wasn't bothering you.
Well, you know, but they can't use it.
You can use it, but put it back where you found it.
I might not have known where I found it. I wasn't paying attention to where I picked
then
it up.
Then you shouldn't bother. That's my mind. That's my mistake. I know it's crazy, man. So you see what my wife has to deal with. So I'm a mess, man. I'm a man.
Wow. Yeah, you. That's an OCD. What does OCD stand for?
Obsessive compulsive disorder. Yeah. That's 50-50, though. That's 50-50. That's what I take on 50-50 as far as the households and just the whole outside look on it. We're going to move on to our next topic. This topic is, it's your topic, T. It's Jim.
Free agency, man.
The free agency in the NFL.
Yes, man, I miss football. I don't do basketball.
Well, let's get on to football, man. Yeah, I told you, I still talk about football. I like football. Football, man, I learned to like football more since I've gotten older. You know, just sitting down on Sunday watching a good football game.
It's nothing like it, man.
Yeah, man.
Me and my son leaving the barbershop today, looking over there at Lincoln Park, and it was just a large group of young men out there playing for it, and they playing. Tackle. They weren't playing flag.
Like we used to.
Yeah, man. Throwing my bust them up. Basically, what they out there playing. I'm looking at it. I'm envious of them, in a sense, to where they still have that drive to get out there and do it.
Do it, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But then I seen one little running back stiff arm the hell out of the guy. He stiff armed the man to the ground. And took off running out of that
receiver. Everyone's up, though.
That right there is why I'm going to stay a spectator.
But you went through it. I mean, come on, man. Dana.
Okay.
I'll catch you low in a minute.
And we'll put you on the cement.
Right.
Yeah.
On purpose. Yeah. But I'm saying, like, okay, we're going on these free agents. But what do you think about the free agent signing so far?
Man, shoot, you know me. I'm a Denver man, so I'm pretty excited. We got your boy from Dallas, DeMarcus Ware.
Yeah.
We picked up.
I got Talib.
And
T.J. Ward.
T.J. Ward. Oh, no, I think he got some phone pickup. I wish we could have kept Dominique Kumar, though. Rogers Kumar.
Yeah, I really do. Where did he end up? He ended up going to
New York.
New York.
Giants.
Right.
A nice big contract. Nice contract. I mean, I'm happy for him.
Yeah, one time for home.
Yeah,
definitely
happy for him. Definitely.
Tampa Bay, where we at? What we doing? What we looking like?
They look like they're doing a lot. I like what they're doing.
Yeah, and I think you can almost feel a change in the atmosphere.
You know what
I mean? And then you're going to get a lot of players go to Tampa Bay because I love it.
Right.
Love is respected, man. And then you know what his organization is going to be about.
Right.
One thing about him, he's a winner. He may have never won the big one, but he's a winner.
Well, can y'all explain to me why they didn't keep Reeves?
I understand the move. I understand
too much
move.
Money, man.
It's too much money.
They're going to give him, like, I think, $16 million?
Yeah, it's too much money, man. I understand the move to free up some cap, but I would have liked to see them stay.
He wasn't going to take it less, though.
Nobody was throwing to that side.
That's what I'm saying. I think he would have been an outstanding. He was an outstanding leader on that defense. He would continue to do so in this beginning of this new era. I think that would have been a good starting point for us.
So good.
Who is the leader on the defense?
I don't know.
Exactly.
Somebody will have to become.
I don't know.
But if you was Levy and you taking over a new regime,
mm-hmm.
right, and you got the opportunity to get rid of Reeves and bring in more. Because you got a little more insight and know more options on your defense instead of giving Reeves all this money and not having to be able to get anybody. Would you keep Reeves?
Yes.
You still keep him?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm keeping him because I know what I got.
He makes that big of an impact.
But that's what I'm saying. We don't know because I've had the inside. You might know somebody that's out there. If I get two, they could be the quality of Warren Reeves.
Are you going to take that gamble when you already got it in your hand?
You got to know. But he might not have been high on Reeves.
What I'm saying is they're free agents. If you're talking about...
Yeah. The pickup.
So
yeah.
The opportunity is there for another team to grab him before I get him.
Oh, but I don't think... I think that might have went out of his perspective. I don't know how far up his say-so is, but it might have been like they were saying, well, we ain't paying Reeves that kind of
right.
money again.
What is it,
Coba House? Not Coba House, that's not one. The Glaciers. The Glaciers was like, well, we can't afford to get that. You need to free up that room. Then your hands kind of tight.
The guy, I can't say his first name. Altaron, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Vernon. He came from Tennessee, I believe.
DB?
As a cornerback.
Yeah. They got somebody else, too.
Look at the trade-off. Yeah, you saving money, but people going to try him. I think he's a special team too, if I am mistaken.
So y'all think Reeves is that good?
Reeves is good.
No, he don't get the name. They don't give you an island. They don't call it Reeves Island for nothing, just because it sounds good. The man is proven. Okay, put it this way. You start a team today. Who going to be your cornerback?
Kumari. And that's not biased because he's home. I'm going to be honest.
No, that's just crazy.
No, I'm going to be honest, though. He got the years on Reeves. He got the hunger still. When a man tell you he ain't playing less than $16 million, he done got that to that point where he playing out for money. Which is nothing wrong with that because it's the NFL. But at the same time, I want you to have a little drive in you, too, to just play because you want to play. I haven't seen that in Reeves in years since he played for the contract to what it was, to not lead a jet before they got rid of him. Now, Reeves... Them first 2 years, when they was calling the island and all that, I seen it. Me personally, I know a lot of people say you don't see it no more because they're not throwing to his side. I really don't see him making the impact that he used to visibly.
Right. I think he lost his drive a little
right.
bit, a little his hunger.
Right. I think the name recognition might have brought a little something to it.
I think the NFL is full of egos, if that's where you was going with that he maybe he
yeah, you know, you get the big head.
Got
I
big
want
head
the money. And then they got the best thing back in them because their money is really not guaranteed.
Okay, so
see, he getting his money. It's $16 million for a year.
Right.
It wasn't like it was a signing bonus or nothing. He had a 1 year, I think it was 2 year contract, and it was $16 million guaranteed both years or something like that.
We know where Reeves went.
To New England.
No.
Well,
let's put the thing into perspective.
Well. Belichick.
Oh, so now it's about Belichick and not Reeves.
Belichick, man. I mean, Reeves is good. But of course, do I think he's going to be better than Belichick defense? Yes.
Yeah. Because when you go to New England,
it's
Belichick takes a project.
Yeah.
The man now has Reeves on one side and Brandon Brown on the other side. You know Brandon?
Yeah. They just re-signed him. I think they was able to re-sign him. So you saying you think the defense got better in New England?
Absolutely.
But they didn't do nothing. Well, except they re-signed Allen. But they really didn't pick up no receivers. You don't need no.
You got Tom Brady. He going to have receivers. If you ain't got no names, you still got receivers.
And we can say New England's biggest downfall in the last couple of years has been their defense.
The defense. They get burnt.
Yeah. It has been their defense.
Now you take that away, what you going to do in New England?
Because Tom Brady going to score points. Come
yeah, he's going to put up points. You're chasing him.
He's going to put up points.
So now who you got? Who you think got the best out of free agents? Denver or New England?
Why is this narrowed down to them two?
Well, okay, put the ball, put everybody in there. I just put them two because in the AFC, 9 times out of 10, that's who we probably going to see in the championship game.
Right now, at this moment, I would probably say the Bucs are sitting on top right now. I would probably, even though they let Reeves go, and that's my whole argument.
You think they've been better with Reeves then?
Yeah, I think they've been better. But I still think I think there's a lot more that's going to happen. But at the end of the day, I think so far from what we've seen, I think they sitting on top. Just acquiring Lovey alone.
Yeah, that was a great pickup. That was a great pickup. And I think I was telling y'all this, that Detroit was after him too. But
yeah.
He signed with Tampa Bay, like, with no question. So he wanted Tampa Bay. Which is a good sign too.
In history, you know.
Yeah, which is a good sign.
And the NFC South is more like where he came from.
Yeah, it's in Chicago. So
oh, no, it's not because he left the division. He said the same team. Forgot Julius Peppers. What do you think about that?
They picked up Julius Peppers.
Not even a Green Bay.
Julius Peppers. I hope he get a resurgence in Green Bay. I don't know if it was the defense they was running in Chicago, but he wasn't the Julius Peppers he used to be.
Well, they're getting older. They're getting old.
They picked up Ware, too.
Who?
Green Bay. That's it, right?
Who that? Green Bay got, let's see.
No, Ware went to
Denver. Yeah.
But he's saying what's happening is they got 3-year, $30 million.
Contracts, yeah.
Monies. Yeah.
Sam Shields resigned with Green Bay, though. I think he got a nice contract, too.
So basically, should be looking towards another good NFL
season. Yeah.
This
yeah.
last season, even though the Bucs ain't shaking that, felt like it was a pretty decent season. Went into the playoffs not knowing who was going to
win the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. So I like seasons like that. That was a good season last year.
It was competitive.
Right.
It was real competitive.
Do y'all see Seattle going back?
I can't see why not.
See why not.
Not right now.
But then I'm going to say your team in there still, San Francisco.
San Francisco still in there.
Denver.
Arizona coming up. You know, there's not a lot of talk about Arizona, but they coming up. Detroit. Who is Detroit coach? Who the guys are coach? Who did they find?
I don't know. That one, that dude that tried to fight San Francisco coach.
No, they fired.
They fired him.
Yeah, Schwartz. What's his name? Mike Schwartz? No. What's his dude's name? Anyway, they fired.
Y'all think Vic gonna go with the Jets?
I don't even know if it helps.
I like Vic, man. I want Vic to do something, man. I don't know.
Where would you like to see him go?
Tampa Bay. Okay, if he's at the bench.
Yeah, I don't think he fit the scheme.
Okay, if he's at the bench.
You think he fit
Green Bay. The Jets better?
Than Tampa Bay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Jets just seem all over the place.
They do. They really
that's
do.
Really why I want him to go.
That's why he fit that
place.
They all would be he all over.
It works.
The biggest thing with Vic now is being healthy. I think if he can stay healthy and he's confident behind the line, and I don't think the Jets got a line. If he can stay healthy behind the line, you give him enough time to feel like he can do what he needs to do, he can do it. But we got to be honest. Jail, just like it stole some of Muhammad Ali's greatest years, stole some of Mystical's greatest years, it stole some Michael Vick greatest years, man. We didn't see Michael Vick at the point we probably would have seen.
Yeah,
he got the understanding later. He got that total understanding, but he was in his prime when he got in that trouble, man.
I'm going to tell you why San Francisco, since that being my team, our downfall is going to be until this young man grows up a little bit and understands his role, going back to role. Colin Kaepernick, as much as he's brought to the team, I think that little bit that he doesn't understand, it's kind of LeBron-ish.
Yeah, it is.
You know what I mean? Like that little bit that you just won't exert yourself, that extra when we need it, is what's keeping us from winning a big game.
He might be going through the same thing LeBron went through before LeBron got to win the title. He might have to figure that out for himself.
Well, I sure hope he figured it out.
But really, you can kind of see he's figuring himself out, though, when he's playing. Because he's all over the place at times.
Yeah.
And you can see the lack of confidence. Then sometimes you can see that confidence where he's unstoppable. But it's all about what the defense gives him. He needs to learn what and Carolina learned.
He shows that unstoppableness once he starts having a good game.
Yeah, that's – but see –
you don't go into the game –
feeling like you're unstoppable.
Exactly, and that's the difference.
Yeah.
If you walk into the game knowing you're unstoppable, then you have a lot more good games.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you this as a San Francisco fan.
Yeah.
If you had the choice between take away the Super Bowl, Kaepernick, and Russell Wilson.
Ooh.
Now.
Ooh.
Take the Super Bowl away.
Just off pure, just they playing ability. After 2 years of watching both of them.
I'll take Russell Wilson, and I'm going to take Russell Wilson because he doesn't throw the ball away. He's a good decision maker. He don't have big stat games,
right?
But he don't bring the negatives. Kaepernick will try to force a ball in there and be like, man, what are you? I understand you got a strong arm, and I understand that this and all that. Come on, man, but you're losing the game right now. Russell Wilson don't do that. I throw the ball in the stands and come back and play another series and not give over points first. I take that.
Decision making is
and
NFL
need that
IQ. NFL IQ is high. Russell Wilson. Right now, and this might be kind of hard for me to say, but I think I mean it. I would probably take Russell Wilson over any other quarterback in the league right now to be me. I've never really been a very big
quarterback.
What's his name for New England? We just finished talking.
Brady.
Tom Brady fan. I ain't never really been a real big Tom Brady fan. He's got that magic. He's like a Brett Favre that don't make mistakes. Don't get me wrong. But
I can name you five quarterbacks right now. I take over Russell Wilson.
I don't know though. I'm
name,
trying to agree
name
with
five quarterbacks you
only,
would take over Russell Wilson.
Only reason is because the ceiling for Russell Wilson is through the roof.
Yeah, whatever.
Come on, give him to us.
What?
Give him to us.
Peyton, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers,
Drew
Brees. And as silly as it may sound, I take Cam.
Cam Newton?
Yes, I'll take Cam over Russell Wilson.
I would.
At
you
this
name.
Point right now, I would.
My mind is still made up. I would still take Russell Wilson. Peyton Manning, I love him to death, Dad.
Yeah, I know it.
But he's on the decline.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. He's on the decline.
It's okay.
Tom Brady, the magic going to run. Him and Belichick, they magic going to run out. It may have already ran out. They magic going to run out.
They've been in Super Bowl, 9, 10 years?
It's going to run out. You can't help it. Ain't nothing they can do about it.
Well, I bet you see them in the playoffs every year.
I give you that. I think it's going to be kind of tough for them this year.
I thought it was going to be last year and the year before that, too. And the year before that. They made it.
Yeah, they always do.
They going to be
there. Until they don't. I guess we can't.
You can't dispute it.
Can't dispute it until they don't make the playoffs.
They always
do. I still say I'll take what's with over any of them.
See,
I like the five on your list.
With all the positives that Russell Wilson brings to the game, you also have to remember that defense that's playing with Russell Wilson has carried that team.
He's benefiting from it, though, as a decision maker.
Decision maker, he helped them win that Super Bowl.
That's why he can throw the ball
away. He did not make mistakes, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's that intangible. You gave me the option of Colin Kaepernick or Russell Wilson, and the reason why I told you the reason why I picked Russell Wilson. But that decision making ain't gonna win games if you ain't got that same caliber of defense that he playing with. He can make those decisions because I know the chances of you getting this ball and going down the field and scoring points is pretty slim. So I take my chances of getting the ball again next year. Take that defense away. he might start throwing them interceptions because I got to score just as much as you score.
Yeah, that's true. Mm. So he's benefiting. Yeah, he's benefiting. Which Cam, I mean, not Cam, which Cam does do, though. I ain't mean to name him, but they got good defense out there in Carolina.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do.
But he came to a point where he decided to stop trying to do too much, and that's Kaepernick's problem.
Yeah, that's
Kaepernick's problem. He got their defense is solid, but you can't just be making the mistakes you're making and think they can carry.
Look at the pieces you have. You don't have to make those calls. You don't have to throw the ball away like that. You really don't. Anyway, we come to the end of this thing again. Trying to wrap up. I guess we'll look forward to doing this on Friday.
We're gonna
set it out for y'all on Friday. We're gonna tell you what your boy we're gonna do. We're just gonna do it. Hope you enjoy it. So, tune in. See what it is.
Yeah, we got something nice for you. Just to wrap it up, you know, I start on our closing remarks myself. Another wonderful show today, fellas, I feel like. We switched it up a little bit, brought a little more to the people this time. Got a little involvement from the people listening out there. We appreciate that. So, you know, we're going to keep this thing rolling. We're going to keeping God first, you know, and doing the things that we know we feel are right, and keep this ball moving. I appreciate it. All the listeners out there, appreciate y'all, homeboys, and enjoy ourselves. Till next time.
You
done, dude?
I'm out of here.
Well, with that being said, lock your doors, but open your hearts to the Lord. It's hard, but it's fair. One love, JWJ. Dad out.
There's a fine line, baby, I'm on it.
There's a fine line between love and hate, you see. Can't wait too late, but baby, I'm on it. There's a fine line between love and hate, you see. Can't wait too late, but baby, I'm on it. Can't worry about what a nigga think to see. And that's liberation, and baby, I want it. Can't worry about what another nigga think. Now that's liberation, and baby, I want it.
My life away.
Oh, Lord.
shake it low, low, 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 shake it low, low.
From the killing fields with no total. I don't think we in Kansas, no moto. Midwest or dirty south, clean dress or dirty mouth. Whether robbing preachers or killing poor righteous teachers, you a scared demon, shouldn't be allowed to spread semen. And your cowardly lies never define the jackals of Babel. Running with they pack, tell between your legs. Throw the mane on your head, say the story. As you downplay your glory, cackling, helping the shackling of your brethren happen. Just by rapping, Libertad, 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 Libertad.